I need to tell on myself, okay? I discovered a way to get three pretty ladies to come and stand over you. Now, I don't recommend this to anyone else, but it worked for me this week, okay? So I'm sitting in a chair, and I faint. I'm not even calling it blacking out or whatever. I fainted. That's the term. It's called vasovagal reaction. So I'm sitting in a chair and I just black out. I just faint. I go down and I wake up with three beautiful ladies standing over me. It worked. I don't recommend it though, because it is so embarrassing. It is so embarrassing. One was taking my pulse and my pulse was 46. See, what happens is your heart rate went. Now, here's the technical name. Are you ready for the technical name, the real technical name? Wimpiness disease. So, and everyone is invited to call me Pastor Wimpy. Okay? It is so embarrassing. I got no control over it. All of a sudden, I could feel it coming, but because I was sitting down, I didn't think it would really take full effect, but it took full effect. And I went out, I don't know how long I went out for, but I did. I fainted this week. And so if I faint during the message, don't worry. Just leave me alone and lift my legs up and I'll wake up in a little bit, okay? And just Pastor Wimpy. I do not recommend that as a way to meet people, okay? It is not a good way to win friends and influence people, okay? But it did work. And also, this is the first Sunday of Advent. And what we're going to do, first Sunday of Advent, we have four candles. This week, the theme is hope. Next week will be faith. The third week is joy. And then the fourth week, the Sunday before Christmas, is love. And then we're going to have a focus on Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Son of God, becoming a man. And so each Sunday, right before the service, we're going to have a scripture reading and lighting of one of the candles, because I'm a pyromaniac too. Not only am I wimpy, but I'm a pyromaniac. So, and I've asked a couple to come, Jeff and Cassie, if they would come. And Jeff is going to read some scripture, and Cassie, Lord willing, the candle is going to light. And then we're going to focus on hope, living hope. We have a living hope. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And we're just going to focus on that for a little bit today. So Jeff and Cassie, if you could come. And Jeff, here's a mic that you can hold there, and you can either go up there or stand wherever you want. And the candle of hope.
You already have it prepped. Good morning. And as we turn our minds hopefully towards Christmas and more importantly towards Christ, it is the first Sunday of Advent, and as Pastor said, that is hope. Just a short reading and a short scripture verse here. The scriptures teach us that in love, Jesus died on the cross in our place. He paid our sin debt. We also know that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have a living hope. Not just wishful thinking. We know for certain that Jesus is alive, and one glorious day he will return to take us to be with him forever and ever. Amen. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah as he foretold the birth of Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7.
Thank you very much. We have a living hope. We have a powerful hope. We know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. And if we could have the PowerPoint up. We're going to begin. We're going to be looking at a scripture, but this is the first Sunday of Advent, our living hope. But before we get there, I don't know if I have this on or not. Before we get there, walking in intimacy with God. I am adamant. I believe with all of my very being that that's the reason for our existence, is that God became a man and died on the cross so that we could walk in intimacy with him. And John 17:3. John 17 is the last night in which Jesus was here on earth, and he had this prayer, which is called the high priestly prayer. He prayed for us. And here's how it starts. Now, this is eternal life. You guys are going to get sick of this because I'm going to read this every Sunday for weeks, okay? Until it penetrates even the dullest of minds. Remember, my Greek professor looked right at me and said, Jeff, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. What tense is this? Who remembers tense? It's the present tense. Now this is eternal life. See, my growing up, I used to think that eternal life began when you died. Jesus said, this is eternal life. And what is this eternal life? That he's praying for us. He's not only praying for his disciples there, but later on he says, I'm not only praying for them, but I'm praying for the ones that believe on their message for us. Jesus said, that they may know you, the only true God. So there's two aspects to eternal life: knowing the eternal God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. That is eternal life. Eternal life begins here and now. It begins here and now. And a part of that eternal life is that we have a living hope, and we're going to look at that. So walking in intimacy with God. And you guys have heard me say this many, many times, and that's okay, because repetition penetrates what? To me, the image that fits for my mind and my simple mind is, every once in a while you see a picture of a little girl at a wedding dancing with her dad. And if you look close, she's actually just standing on his shoes. And they're dancing, and it looks like she's dancing. But all she's doing is holding on. That's all she's doing. But they are dancing because the father is doing the dancing and his little girl is just holding on. To me, that's what intimacy is all about. It's just holding on to God. It's holding on to him. In fact, he gives us the strength to hold on to him. And then all these benefits, it looks like we're dancing. It's such a wonderful time of intimacy. That is what I believe life is meant to be all about, walking in intimacy with God here and now. And there's so many blessings that come from that. And then we simply invite others to do the same. And what green means is that's not in your notes, in your sermon notes. There are sermon notes in the worship bulletin, the worship folder. If you want sermon notes, they're there. And there's blanks. I have them filled in red in case the PowerPoint fails so that I can just refer to them and not have to memorize every blank. But we're going to, if you want to take sermon notes, if you need that to help stay awake, they're there for you. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. We're going to look at one of the main benefits. I'm going to have the scriptures projected before you, but I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along in your Bibles. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. And 1 Peter is all the way, if you look at my Bible here, I marked it. It is almost all the way at the very end of your Bible. 1 Peter's way back there. It's way back there. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. By the way, Mark, I'm going to ask you how we can make things better afterward, okay? So be taking notes, dude. Here's what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new hope, a new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, for now for a little while you may have to suffer all kinds of grief and trials. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now here's the first blank, two blanks, spiritual truths. I'm going to identify just some spiritual truths from this wonderful passage of scriptures. It's just some of the truths that are there. A person could preach here for many, many days. In his great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Now, who starts all this? Who does it all? This is so important. This is so important. This is so important. Who does it all? Tell me. God does it all. God does it all. God does it all. I was raised, if you're not getting it done, just work harder. Don't eat lunch, work harder. Do whatever it takes to get it done. And I'm telling you, that is not how the Christian life works. Now, do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Everyone up there and everyone down there, do not raise your hands. Wow, I can't see you guys. That wreath is covering everything up. Do not raise it, covering everything up. It's covering some beautiful faces up there. Do not raise your hands. How many people here struggle with sin? Do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. I'm going to raise both of mine. Okay? See, and again, I was raised, just try harder, just try harder, just try harder. And that is not a biblical truth. That is not a biblical truth. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Who gives us this? God does. I was told, work harder, strive harder. If you're serious about stopping sin, then memorize more scripture. Try harder, try harder. And I'm telling you, that is not a biblical concept. Everything starts with Him, in His great mercy. Now, I'm not saying don't do anything, but in His great mercy, He has given us a new birth. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us. And I didn't put this in here, it's not in Greek, it's not anywhere, but in Romans 8, it says that those who He foreknew, He predestined that they be conformed into the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many. You know, eventually, who are we all going to look like? Jesus. It's our destiny. Does that passage say work harder, try harder? No. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the image. To be conformed into the image. Who does the conforming? Who does the transformation? Where's the power come from? Does it come from suck it up? I was raised on John Wayne and good, clean violence. Come on, pull yourself up. Let's get her done. I'm just telling you, that's the way I was raised. I told you guys, when Dad taught me to swim, we went out. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. It's important to know how to swim when you live on the Chesapeake Bay. We went out in the boat. Dad, the dog, and me. Dad threw the dog over, then he threw me over and said, do what the dog's doing. It worked. So if you come to me for counseling or advice or stuff, do not be surprised by the words, suck it up. Buttercup, is she here? Someone in our church, she regularly uses that phrase, suck it up, buttercup. I love it. This is the way I was raised. I do not ooze with empathy. Okay, I don't. I was raised, I realize that now. I didn't realize it. Now I'm learning that I realize it. But the reality is that's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. God is the one that is at work to do in us, to form Christ in us. It's from Him. It's not us. It's a gift. It's His mercy. You can't earn mercy. Can you? I told y'all a couple years ago, I got a ticket in a city south of here. And then you guys warned me about it. Thanks a lot. I didn't ask for mercy. I actually didn't deserve mercy. I got no mercy. But if I could have earned mercy, I'd have loved to earn it. But you can't earn mercy. Mercy is a gift that's given to you. In God's great mercy, He gave us new birth into a living hope. Why is it a living hope? Because He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indwelling within us. We're born from above. We're born again. And what it means to be born again is that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within us. And He is the living hope. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is not an Eeyore? Do I need to say that again? Man, I grew up with so many of the mature Christians walking around with a scowl on their mouth all the time. And you never saw that break either. I thought it would break if they smiled. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control. It's the Holy Spirit that brings about all this cool stuff. And it's from God. It's not us. And for years and years and years, I've tried to be good. It just doesn't work. I tried not to faint. Didn't work. I asked someone a couple days later, did I actually go all the way out? Sure did. Because I didn't know. I was out. I told someone about it, and they said, you probably went all the way out. I said, nah, I'd have remembered that. Pastor Wimpy, I admit it. You can't earn mercy. It's a gift from God. And it's of the Holy Spirit. Next blank, the foundation of our hope resides in God. Our salvation, everything. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I have so many... I will not invite you over to my house. You can come into the house, but you can't come into the garage. The garage has one path, and everywhere else are half-done projects. I have advanced degrees in half-doneness. Okay? I just do. God doesn't. Every new morning is proof that God completes everything. All of creation. He did it all in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. It's proof that God finishes all things well. And he wants to finish in your life too. But there is a catch. We have to say yes. Yes, it's more surrender. It's not working harder. It's surrender. If you watch me, I don't stand when we worship because my knee's bad and it starts hurting. And I know I need to walk around because I can't just stand still. And so I sit down to worship, but you'll see me raising my hands. And when I raise my hands like this, this means I surrender all. I surrender all. And then I say, Lord, I grant you full access. Because isn't that what happens when you surrender? I lift my arms so that someone could full access. See if I've got anything hidden. And then I turn my hands this way. And it's only symbolic. It's only symbolic. It's not right or wrong. It's just what I do. I begin worship like this. I surrender all. I surrender all. Please, I grant you full access. Full access. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Full access. And I quote scriptures that promise that. And then I turn my hands this way. I receive you. I receive you. Come. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? Anyone looking forward to Christmas? My mom already called me. What do you want? I want my two front teeth, and someone just gave me those. No, come on, Jeff. What do you want? Okay, give me some socks. But I'm looking forward to Christmas. I've already contacted my kids and grandkids. What do you guys want for Christmas? Tell me now so I can buy it cheap. Hey, Cyber Monday is Cyber Monday, right? Cheapo. I don't even know why I went there. We just receive. If we know how to give good gifts, is your hubby going to give you a good gift? Dude, I'm putting you on the spot. Where is it? He's not here today. You tell him he missed it. Are you going to give each other good gifts? How much more is your Father in heaven going to give you? In fact, he's already given it to you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And he is not an Eeyore. Love, joy, peace, patience. If you're an Eeyore, something's wrong. Let me just say it. If you're an Eeyore, something is wrong. Now, each of our personalities are slightly different, and some of us might be a little bit Eeyore-ish, but there should be a joy there. There should be a joy there Because the Holy Spirit is not frowning. Nowhere in the scripture does it. Love, joy, peace, patience. All of those things are what are ours because of the Holy Spirit. We have a new birth. We're born again. We're born again. The foundation of our hope of everything resides in God. Now, pastors for years have been afraid to say this, but there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. You know why we won't say that? Because you'll stop trying to do things to make Him love you more. You'll start acting like idiots. Are you with me? But I'm telling you, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. He just loved you because His love is not dependent upon your behavior or my behavior. It's not dependent upon whether this message is a good one or a flunker. He loves based upon His character and being. And that should free us to just run into His arms. I don't know about you, but my mom said, wait till your dad gets home. Wait till your father gets home. Didn't make me real endearing for when dad got home. Because I know there was probably a butt whooping. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, what He asked me to do. Well, that's not so with God. God the Father, He knows every wrong thing you have ever done and ever will done, secret and public and everything else. And you know what He said? Before the creation of the world, I choose you. Think about that. He knew it all. And in His mercy, in His love, knew every stupid thing that I would ever do. And do you guys remember shooting bows up in the air, straight up to see where the arrow came down? Remember doing that kind of stuff? And that's probably the best of the stupid stuff. I know I'm talking to guys primarily now, not girls. Girls are too smart to do that kind of thing. I see some girls laughing, so maybe they're not. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving you ladies too much credit. But, okay, God knew all of it. And He still said, you're mine. I choose you. I adopt you. I love you. And so there's nothing you can do to make Him love you less. And the fear is that if people really get a hold of that, they'll go out and sin up a storm. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 6. Because that was the fear. Boy, if these people really get a hold of grace, realizing that it's God unmerited favor, I can't earn it, I can't deserve it, He just pours it on me, then I'll just be ornery as ever and it won't matter. And Paul said, God forbid. I'm telling you, when we realize how much we're loved, we run to Him. We don't run away from Him. Adam and Eve ran and hid because they didn't realize the love of God. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. That's what Adam said. And that's what the enemy wants to try and keep us doing. Running and hiding. But Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could run to Him, knowing that He loves us. In the parable of the prodigal came to his senses. And where did he run? Back to Dad. So if you've blown it this week, run to Dad. Run to the cross. Run to the cross. The next phrase in this passage, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, I believe the primary proof that the Christian faith is true above all other religions is Jesus' resurrection. It's the proof. Jesus said He was the Son of God. Jesus said He would be raised the third day, and He was. It's the proof. You start there and you can add all the other proofs. But that's the foundational proof. The tomb is empty. Amen. Jesus claimed to be God. He was resurrected. He is God. Amen. Boy, one or two amens on that. We're in deep weeds, folks. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. You get in deep weeds, you ain't going very far. You got to tilt the engine up and get all the weeds off the prop and start all over again. I'm telling you, we are so blessed. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. His love for us. So let's talk about benefits. Future and current. Future benefits. What are the future benefits that this passage talks about? When we are loving Him and serving Him, just walking in intimacy with Him, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, kept in heaven from you. Other passages say where moth and rust don't corrupt, where no thieves can break in. Does anyone think they have enough money for retirement yet? I know I don't. But man, I got a retirement plan that you can't beat. No one can take it away. No one can embezzle it. It's there. It's there. Not because of who I am, but because of my loving Father in heaven. Man, I've got a great retirement plan. I'm looking forward to it. Current. What are our current things? You know, the most commanded commandment is this one right here. What's the number one commandment? This isn't in your notes. What's the number one commandment? Love Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one is like it. What's number two? Which one is number three? I can't do that. I can do that easier. We don't know what number three is, but I can tell you the most repeated command is fear not. Why do we fear not? Because this passage says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. You know, nothing can happen to me. You know, I believe God let me wimp out this week to keep me humble. I believe that. I'm willing to tell all y'all about it so you can help keep me humble. Because I can be arrogant. Now, I know none of you are arrogant, right? We are shielded. I've been on airplanes, and people next to me are terrified. I remember one, I looked over and said, what are you worried about? We could die. Well, I guess you're lucky I'm on this plane then. What are you talking about? Well, I'm a child of God, and I know He's got more work for me to do, so I know this plane isn't going down. I've said that. And you know how you can have an assurance too? Pray to receive Jesus Christ right now. And I've had people pray to receive Jesus Christ. But we are shielded by God's power. Nothing can happen to us. You might say, then what happened to your wife, Lynette? She died a little over 2 years ago. Well, you know what? God took her to heaven. She's with Him now. She doesn't want to come back here. I don't want her to come back here. I am desperately lonely. I am lonely, but intellectually, I don't want her to come back. How selfish would that be for me to bring her back here to this mess? I spit when I get excited, sorry. You've heard me say it before. I was in this small country church, Alliance Church, preaching away, and it just comes. And this little old man, after I apologized, and I apologize. This little man doddered up the aisle afterward and he said, preacher, I need to rebuke you. What for, dude? Hey, when that water comes out of your mouth and you're preaching, that's our holy water. I'm sorry. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. Nothing can happen to me apart from His will. It's not wrong to ask him why. I've asked him why I passed out this week. I fainted. I'm not going to say passed out. I fainted. Doesn't that make you feel better? Fainted. I was even looking at words. Blacked out, passed out, fainted. Oh, fainted. Ugh. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. But you know, God was in control. So I just ask why. What do you want to teach me? Well, obvious humility. Because I go in, nah, I don't want any Novocaine. Just do it. Just take care of it. Just do it. I earn this pain. I earn this pain. And then I wimp out. Good grief. Good googamooga. How embarrassing. Obviously, the Lord wanted me to eat some humble pie. That was my Thanksgiving dessert, humble pie. We are shielded by God's power. Nothing can happen to us apart from His will. Does the scripture say that? Can I hear an amen? That's bad, Pastor, when you got to ask for amens to get them, you know? In this you greatly rejoice. Here's that rejoicing again. For though now for a little while you may have to suffer wimpiness disease and all kinds of other trials, but you know what? We know how the story ends, amen? We know how the story ends. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. Who here wants to know what God's will is for your life? You can raise your hand on this one. Who here wants to know? Because I'm going to quote you verses. Gee, not many people want to know. 1 Thessalonians, it says this, rejoice always, in everything give thanks. And in everything, am I quoting that right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can it get any clearer than that? Can it get any clearer than that? This is God's will for you. Rejoice always. Because who's in control? Dad is. Nothing can happen to me apart from His will. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will. This is God's will. I could take my watch off, but that would mean absolutely nothing. Don't worry, we have communion and we have a baptismal service. You'll get out of here by 2 or 3, I promise. If we were in Argentina, that's what would happen. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You've heard me say this before. The reality is I believe in an already not yet existence. I am already saved, but not yet fully saved. Already not yet, because Paul says, I have been saved. And then Paul says, I am being saved. And then Paul says, I will be saved. And think about it. Does anyone have their complete, glorious, resurrected body yet? Can anyone eat anything they want and never gain weight? I used to. Not anymore. See, we are saved. We're in the process of being saved, and we shall be saved. We live in an already not yet existence. And Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection guarantees. It is the guarantee. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says the Holy Spirit is given to each of us as the guarantee, the down payment, the deposit money on the house, guaranteeing that we're going to be saved. We have a living hope. Why do we have a living hope? Because it all starts with God. It's based upon Him and the Holy Spirit within us. And by the way, you know, I hope that's not rain, but I'm pretty sure it is. And I hope that all kinds of things. But the biblical concept hope is a future certainty. Elpis is, I don't know how to pronounce it. I minored in Greek, but I still don't know, and I don't think my professors knew, although they thought they did. Go over to Greece, and you'll hear a whole different... Anyway, the Greek word means a future certainty. It's not, gee, I hope it stops raining by the end of this service. Boy, I hope they have more pizza. I hope I get dessert today. Boy, I hope. No, 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 no. This is a future certainty. Jesus died on the cross to make it a real deal. We have a living hope. We should have joy oozing out of us. Even in the midst of bad stuff. We know how the story ends. I've been on the operating table, and all this anxiousness came over me. And almost every time I visit someone in the hospital, I quote this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that transcends all your understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And every time I prayed that verse, man, I just fall asleep. Maybe I fainted. I don't know. I don't know which. But to me, it was the peace of God that was overwhelming. You know, today is a good day to meet God. I doubt that any of us will. But today is a great day to meet God. The day we meet God will be the best day of our lives. Amen? We have a living hope inside of us. And that's what this first candle of Advent is about to remind us. We don't have hope. We have a living hope. It's alive because the Holy Spirit is alive within us. It should be a constant, ongoing hope. You know, I hoped the four-wheeler started the other day, but it didn't. The battery was dead. The hope we're talking about isn't like that. It's the Holy Spirit springing up inside of us, a living hope. Knowing that nothing can happen apart from God's will. And we know how the story ends. By the way, does everyone here know how the story ends? The Bible is really clear about it. We will be with Him. In fact, eternal life begins here and now. Intimacy with Him now. If you don't like intimacy with Him now, you ain't going to like heaven. You with me? If you're not walking in intimacy and have that intimate relationship with Him here and now, you're not going to like heaven. In fact, you've probably already chosen somewhere else. God's a gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on anyone. Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, and I'll come in with Him and sup with Him and He with me. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians because the Bible teaches that it's easy for believers to grow cold in their love. What's the seven-year itch? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Is that a phrase around here? It was a phrase where I grew up in. A couple were married for 7 years, and after 7 years, they get complacent and they take one another for granted. Hey, ladies, if your husband is taking you for granted, come and talk to me. I'll dope slap him, okay? I will dope slap you. Okay? There's no political correctness in this church when it comes to me, anyway, okay? The most precious gift we've been given is the Holy Spirit. The second most precious gift that anyone's been given is their spouse. I believe that's what Scripture teaches. If you're not loving your spouse, something's wrong. Even when they're unlovable, the Holy Spirit can come inside of us and He can love through us. And I don't want to hear, but you don't know my situation. You don't know who I'm married to. I remember a professor once, a seminary student came to him. And this young man was complaining about his wife. And he finally just said, then why did you marry her? Oh, she wasn't that way when I married her. Then what did you do to her, boy? Thank you for laughing. Usually I have to say, that was a joke. Thank you. Jesus came and died on the cross. Nothing magical. It's very simple. A person, I was living my life this way, doing it my way. I was raised on John Wayne and Good Clean Violence. And God came knocking at my heart. And I turned. And I said, I put my trust in you and you alone, Jesus. I'm trusting you for my salvation. I'm putting all of my eggs in your basket. I'm trusting you alone. That's all it takes. The thief on the cross said, please remember me. All it takes is repentance. Repentance is simply, it's a big word, but all it means is you're living your life and you're turning around and saying, Jesus, I give you my all. That's all repentance is. That's all it is. He'll take care of all the other stuff. So many people think, oh, I got to get good enough. I got to clean up my act. I got to clean up my act. Then I'll present myself to God. Scripture says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your righteousness is as used toilet paper. Anyone like used TP? Anyone got an RV and flushed that baby out? Oh my goodness. Man, I put gloves on to here and close my nose and put goggles on. That's what our righteousness is in comparison to a holy God. All we need to do, I was living life my way. I was only 11 years old, but I knew that I was, and I knew I had to walk up to the front because I was a proud, arrogant, young twerp. Now I'm just an older, proud, arrogant twerp. Hence the fainting, humility. I was going my way and I simply repented and said, Jesus, please have mercy on me, a sinner. I put my trust in you. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And there's no magical formula because God looks at the heart. If you're thinking, oh man, I'm going to buy eternal fire insurance. I'm going to say these the right words. I'm going to say it the right way. And I'm going to have God as my co-pilot. And I'm just going to do it so that I can go and have eternal life when I die. Doesn't work that way. He looks at our hearts. He looks at the heart. You can say all the right words with the wrong motive and it means nothing. Your prayers will bounce off of the ceiling. But in your heart, all you have to say is, Jesus, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. Please come into my life, and he will. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're celebrating communion and baptism, but communion first. And communion, we don't practice closed communion, which means you don't have to be a member here to partake of communion. Isn't that cool? God is talking to somebody, especially me, because it's right in my eye. I shouldn't be teasing like that. This is serious. God is only a prayer away. He really is. And we don't practice closed communion. That means that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you. We invite you to partake. If you do not, if you're still walking your way, and you're going to live life your way just like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. If you're still walking that way, then we say, please don't partake of communion. It's not for you. This is just for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've done that, we want you to please partake. Please. Because Scripture says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said it. When you do this, you proclaim my death until I return. This is a time of wonderful intimacy between Jesus and us. So I invite anyone that knows Jesus to partake. Now we have single serving communion trays, which means it only goes by once. And if you got three hands, it's real easy. But if you've only got two hands, you pass it to the person next to you. They hold it, and then you take. So that literally we serve each other. It's another reason why we got it. I receive it. I give it to the person next to me. They hold the tray, and then I partake of the elements. because I only have two hands. And then they pass it to the next person, and that person holds it and serves that person. Then they pass it to the next person, and they turn and hold it for that person, and we just serve each other because we're the body. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. His bride looks pretty nice to me from here. I'm going to pray God's blessing upon this. And as I pray, I'm asking the elders and elders in training if they would come up to help serve communion. And I'm just going to ask God's blessing upon it. And also, as the elements are being distributed, I'd ask everyone to just hold their cup and hold their bread, and then we'll all just do it together. If you know Jesus, you're welcome to participate. If you do not know him, please don't. But you know what? Today's a great day to pray to receive Jesus and take communion. It's a great day to do that. Scripture says, behold, today is the day of salvation. The Israelites and many others said, oh, tomorrow, oh, tomorrow. I did that when I was 9. I heard the Holy Spirit convicting me on Wednesday night. I said, tomorrow night, tomorrow, tomorrow. Then Thursday came. Tomorrow. Thursday night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I knew that if I were to die, I would go to a Christless eternity. So as soon as the preacher opened the altar up, is there anyone that would like to pray to receive Jesus? I ran up the aisle. I was in the back row. I was one of those back row guys. Back row that side, straight up here. And then he simply led me in the sinner's prayer, asked God to forgive me. And then he had me turn around to the whole congregation and say, I'm a sinner. This morning I confess that I'm a wimp. Well, I'm a sinner too. But I'm a saved sinner by God's grace. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. And it's not based upon my performance, it's based upon his death on the cross. And so if you know Jesus, I welcome you to come and partake in. Just stay where you are. You don't need to come up here. Just stay where you are, and we're going to pass the tray, take a piece of bread and the cup and just hold it, and then we'll all partake together. If you don't know Jesus, please, this is just for his children. Because it's a time of intimacy between Jesus and his bride. Okie doke. Hope that's plain as mud. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the elders and elders in training if they could please come forward, and then we will remember together. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I continue to just be overwhelmed by the idea that all of this begins with you. It begins with you and ends in you. There's nothing we can do, nothing I can do to make you love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make you love me less. What joy and security, what hope, what living hope. And that hope is because of your finished work, Jesus. And that night in which you were betrayed in the upper room, you said, do this in remembrance of me. I ask in your name, Lord Jesus, I ask directly to you, Abba, Father in heaven, that you would bless this bread and bless this cup the same way you blessed it that night, that last night in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. Holy Spirit, come. Come and draw us into a wonderful intimacy with the Father, with Jesus, and with yourself. And so by faith, I thank you in advance for how you are going to meet each one of your children here through this time of remembering. Thank you. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.